Hi, I'm Sandy Harper here with my co-host Dick Reichman for your monthly episode of Alaska Radio Reader Rambler, literary snacks for the mind and interviews. And today we have two very special guests, in fact, two people who are truly influencing theater in Anchorage. They cultivate our future audiences and talent for our community. David Block, who is West High Chair Arts Department and Theater Director, and Aaron Dagan Mitchell, who is the Theater Director for South High and also Associate Artistic Director for TBA. So welcome, you guys.
Thank you for having us.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. Our pleasure. And one of the things we're going to talk about is this very exciting experience and adventure you give your young students going to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, which, those who don't know, is the largest arts festival in the world. So first of all, maybe we'll start with you, Aaron, because you went last year.
Yeah, I did. And though I do have to give credit to Dave Block, because this program that we've gone to the Fringe through is called the American High School Theater Festival, shortened to AHSTF, and you have to be nominated to take your school, and
oh,
I just
really?
Want to thank David Block for nominating me to go to the program. And last year I took 12 students as part of this program to the Fringe, and it was an incredible experience. I'd never been myself, and it's one of those kind of bucket list things for artists.
Yeah, it's
and
high energy. Because
I just think what an incredible thing for these students. My youngest was 15 at the time, mm-hmm. and oldest 18, and just they got to do it at that age. But how excited I was to be.
So what is the trip?
Well.
What is the deal? What did they do? How long did you spend, and what did you do in that time?
It's a 2-week trip, and you spend a few days in London before you go to Edinburgh, and you get to see some shows in London. We saw a show on the West End and a show at the Globe Theatre.
Wow.
And then
you actually took a workshop at the Globe,
right? Yeah, we took an acting workshop at the Globe, which I participated in because I thought, well, hey, I'm not going to leave it to just them. This is it's a great opportunity. And then we could bring some of those things back for students here in Anchorage, too, who didn't participate. And then we went up to Edinburgh for 10 days and saw Fringe shows, walked up and down High Street in the Royal Mile with all those street performers, just got to tour castles and all kinds of things. But the highlight of the entire trip is you get to perform 4 times as part of the Fringe Festival. And so the students got to perform a show 4 times.
So what did you do? What was the show?
We performed a show, an original musical called Rockin' Red Riding Hood, which was written by local artists, playwright Shane Mitchell and Dennis Clary.
You know what's also exciting about the Fringe Festival? There are multi-festivals going on at the very same time.
Right.
There's a film festival. There's a world-famous book festival.
That's the one that I had never heard of, and I was like, how exciting. There's a book festival here, too.
Yes. And, of course, the festival, because this is called The Fringe. And it's just incredible. You know, we went 1 year or two. We took 2 shows. It was amazing. We had to print lots of flyers. Did you guys do that? That's part of it.
We did. I don't know, like, how much good the flyers do as far as getting an audience, though we had someone show up who said we handed them one on the street who did come to our show. But the best part about it is just adding your multitude of flyers taped to those huge flyer stacks, that those big columns that everybody puts their flyers on, and you can actually, if you push on them, you can feel how thick the paper is that must get taped up there, poster after poster.
Well, that makes sense. I'm curious. I've never gone to the festival, and I've heard about it from everybody, and it's so terrific. I mean, it seems like there are thousands of plays going on every 5 minutes, mm-hmm. and I, who can never choose when I open the refrigerator which leftover to eat next, I mean, how would I get along there? How do you choose? How do you decide what to do? How do you make a trip there?
Just to give you a little perspective of the numbers, in 2011, which is the last time I went, there were 40,000 performances of over 2,500 different shows going on during the 25-day period in August. So it's huge.
Is that full-length shows? Is that evening shows? Or some of them?
Most of them are about I think they limit out at about an hour and a half. But every
really?
Once
so
in a while.
Evening. Yeah, they're big shows.
They're full-length for the most part.
Yeah. That's why the flyers are important. You are competing for the audience.
They told us that it would take 3 years to see every show. This last year, I don't know if that's an accurate number, but to just
and
think
99% of them would be closed by then, right?
Right.
If you were actually to sit down in a theater and watch every show, that it would take you years to see them. That is how much is going on.
Do you get your venue assigned, or you have to do your homework and sort of go for a venue?
Well, for us, we're part of this program Aaron mentioned earlier called the American High School Theater Festival. So that is we go through a process here in the United States. There's an organization that kind of oversees that, where there's the nomination that Aaron mentioned, and then you get there's a selection committee that chooses from the people who are nominated, and then you if you're one of the 30 to 50 shows that are picked, then they assign you a venue and all of that. So we don't have to worry about any of that stuff. But if we weren't within the American High School Theater Festival group, then yes, you'd have to pick your own venue. You'd have to pay for that, all the, you know, all of it.
Wow.
So
and where you stay as well.
Where you stay and all of that. And we're lucky. We get all of that stuff is all kind of included in a package that we just – it's all taken care of. So the kids are in a – They're actually in the dorms for the University of Edinburgh when we stay. So it's a nice, safe environment, and everything's prepackaged for us. So all we have to worry about is putting on a good show.
And you guys, I'm sure I do. I know that your show's original too, right, David?
Yeah, this year we're taking a show called Monster School 2, Monsters Go West, which is a, you know, there are lots of different types of performances. I think comedy is probably the largest style of theater that's presented there. And I did a little research a few years ago and discovered that children's theater is the smallest group. So I kind of thought, hey, that's a niche for us that we could exploit. So this show is a puppet show that's intended for the preschool to third grade level students. And it's got messages about not bullying and, you know, being self-confident and all those kinds of things in it.
Dave Block and Aaron Mitchell are our guests, and we're talking about the trips that they've made with Anchorage High School students to the Fringe Festival in Scotland.
And are going to make.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, South has just been selected to go in 2015 again. So
Hi.
I think we're just going to keep trading years here
right.
a couple times. And I think it's important to note also that Diamond High School has participated
Twice, I think.
And they are also have been selected to go in 2015. So,
you guys have to get together at some pub somewhere in Scotland.
And how many times has West gone, Dave?
West has been nominated to go or selected to go 4 times, but we've actually gone 3 times.
Well, of course, it's a challenge. Even though things are taken care of and it's a great honor to be selected, you have to get there somehow.
It's horribly expensive.
that might be an understatement.
Yeah. The first year I took a group, I think we had 22 students or something like that that we brought, and it was well over $100,000 that we had to raise to go on that trip.
It's a lot of bake sales.
Yeah, it's an infinite number of bake sales. It takes forever.
Yeah. But you guys are lucky because you can sort of do the shows you're going to do in Scotland as a benefit performances.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. So will you be doing that again too?
We presented it once already in November, early November, and we'll do the show again in June. And I hope everybody comes out to see it then.
I'm sure they will. You know, I'm wondering about when you guys, what hooked you on theater? Did you have a wonderful teacher? Was there a wonderful program where you went?
My first memories of theater are actually Shakespeare. I feel like one of those, you know, weird little theater kids when I tell this story. But when I was fairly young, we had a friend. We lived in a town called Groton on Hudson in Groton, New York, and they had a summer Shakespeare festival. And we had a friend who was very involved in that, and their daughter was an actress. And they always had Shakespeare out and about in their house, and she would read to me stories of Shakespeare. And I started to read Shakespeare in second grade, and I finished all his plays by the time I was in sixth grade.
How fantastic.
I do not say that I understood them all, but I had read them all by then. And for whatever reason, there was just this this love and this passion for it. I really liked the poetry and the language and the images, like, would stand out in my head. And then I didn't get really involved in theater, though, until I was in high school. That's where the passion to actually do this came through. My parents were hoping I'd be a lawyer and, you know, make lots of money. But
so was it a high school teacher who ruined you?
Yes, and in many ways. And I had two high school teachers, but Sarah Ormond, who was the one who really, she just had a passion for everything about theater. When we would paint flats or, you know, work, like the tech as well as being on stage, everything was so important to her. And she had such a love for it that I think that that's what really inspired me to say, I could do this. And we had a really close-knit group of people who did theater together. And just that feeling that was created there, I had actually a scholarship to go away to school. And I actually met Leroy Clark and Michael Hood, who were then running the UA Department of Theater. And they said, they talked me into my now husband, Shane Mitchell, is in the program there. And at a cast party for a show he was in, they talked me into and gave me a scholarship to UAA.
That's fantastic.
My first year.
Uh-huh.
And thus, my life was ruined or created. And it's just
legal career went down
journey.
The drain. Huh?
And you are passing on that passion and gift for the craft and the art of theater.
It's been an amazing experience. Both through work at TBA and at South, but this particular trip to the Fringe, when we returned, about a month after we returned, one of my students who'd gone off to college started to send me messages about he wakes up every morning thinking about the Fringe and performing there and the experiences there, and that business sustainability was no longer going to be his future, and he was going in to get a new advisor, and he is now going to be a theater performance major in Arizona starting this next semester. He said the Fringe just, it literally changed his life because he knew that that was what he needed and wanted to do. He couldn't, you know, sit behind the desk every day.
So the experience of seeing a lot of different plays, is that what turned him on?
I think performing.
And performing.
It was actually
performing
doing
too.
It.
Uh-huh,
yeah, actually okay, doing it. Yeah. And being part of a festival that is so big. I mean, as Sandy had said, it's the largest, you know, arts festival in the world, and there's all these festivals that are happening, but everyone you bump into is a performer or loves performing or loves the arts, loves the performing arts, and it's so energizing. I mean, it was for me that it's just, there's all this life, there's all this creativity happening.
And you realize
all
it's
you.
Global. You meet people from mm-hmm. all over the world sharing this passion. So, David, too, you guys both have made a life. You know, they say maybe you can't make a living, a traditional living, but you can make a wonderful life.
Absolutely.
So I know that you also work with ACT as well, right?
Yeah, that's right. A few years ago, I started my own little theater company called Midnight Sun Theater, and with the goal of, you know, TBA Theater, which Aaron is part of, has a large role with the younger kids in our community. But I realized there was, for college students coming back for the summer, there wasn't a lot that they could do in the theater world here in Anchorage. So I started something up to kind of focus on that group. So for the last 5 years now, I've been working with ACT to develop that program. And they've been super helpful in helping me get that started.
Right, and there's links with TBA, I guess, and ACT as well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
well, the theater community, it's a big, small community. I mean, there's a lot of people in Anchorage dedicated to the performing arts, but most of them, you know each other.
I think that's true. It's incestuous and generous.
Yeah, and I mean, I think many of us have a lot of partnerships, you know, where we can. You know, between TBA, ACT, you know, even the various high schools, we try and see each other's shows, loan props and costumes and support.
Absolutely.
in any way that we can, because it's not that that big of a community.
Yeah, well, there are sofas at Cyrano's Lobby that have longer resumes than some actors and in more shows. So, David, listen, I didn't hear how you originally got hooked, though, in theater.
Well, you know, in my family, my parents had been involved in theater since I can remember. So it was just kind of in the atmosphere. But
so they took you to the theater?
Oh, they took us to theater, but they performed as well. And
really?
So, especially in opera. And so that was just kind of in the air I breathed
around.
They
were singers.
Yeah,
they were
singers.
Your parents were both singers.
Yeah, absolutely.
And where did they perform?
Down in California. And then when we moved to Juneau, they became part of a little kind of melodrama summer show called Hoochie Noo and Hot Cakes. and so we'd go to that every, you know, this was a daily thing during the summer. So I was involved with that in one way or another. But I think what really hooked me was after I got a small role in junior high in the Juno Douglas Little Theater production of Macbeth,
The Scottish play, right.
I got to meet Molly Smith, who ended up starting Perseverance Theater and now is in Washington. And she was a director
there. She's
headed
to Broadway. She's going to direct her first Broadway show.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
yeah.
right.
Absolutely right, yeah.
So I got to meet her and actually take some classes from her back when she was just a regular person in Juno. And she really made me see the kind of the depth of theater and the importance of it and how it changes culture and, you know, all these kinds of things that you read about in books, but you don't really understand until you fully experience it. And she kind of got me started as, you know, this is something I want to do the rest of my life.
So you were inspired by Molly Smith. How very special.
Yeah, it's a cool kind of thing.
No, I got excited. I didn't know Macbeth was one of your first shows. Dave and I were in a production of Macbeth together last year with TBA.
Right.
But Macbeth was the first play I was ever in.
Oh.
Because I played one of Macduff's murdered children. That was the first play.
And
most people get to say things like, I was a tree. I was in second grade and I got to be in Shakespeare. So.
Well, and that was what was so cool about it. I was in, I think, seventh grade and I got to play Fleance. And my father got to play my father on stage as Banquo too. So it was a fun experience because it was not only a big theatrical experience but a family experience. And you know, I think both of us, Aaron and I, see lots of families in the theater through our work with students and so forth, and see how parents and grandparents and you know so forth are all involved in the process.
Yeah, there could be a DNA factor going here. I'm not sure.
I think part of that is that just a support factor, too.
Yes,
that,
yes.
I mean, parents who either have a love for the performing arts, whether they perform or work backstage or just love to, you know, be an audience member, when they support their students in these endeavors, the student feels that encouragement.
Yeah, and that it has value and meaning, as you mm-hmm. were saying. And also the fact is, when you are involved in the arts as a young person, the commitment and discipline besides the joy is very important and certainly translatable even if you don't end up in theater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, and I guess your brother's also an actor, the whole family.
My whole family has been involved at one time or another. I have a brother in Hawaii who was an actor in New York for many years, and my brother that's in town locally who's an attorney has also done a lot of theater. And
the law is theater, that's true. Yeah, and I guess you guys, the Mitchells, have a dynasty, like a tribe. Wonderful,
like,
committed
I like
people.
I like tribe better than dynasty. I don't know why. It just kind of appeals. I'm like, yeah.
Aaron Mitchell and Dave Block are our guests, and we're talking about the Fringe Festival and other artistic activities that these guys are at the root of in Anchorage.
Well, you not only found a love for a profession, I guess, weren't you in Shane high school, sweethearts?
That is true, yep. Shane and I, we met doing high school theater. And we're married on a stage. It was a very theatrical wedding in
that
sense.
That's right, it was at the Pack, wasn't it?
I actually have a wonderful picture of us walking back up the aisle, and you can see Sandy and Jerry smiling and beaming.
I remember, I guess, I forget which show it was. Shane was one of our shows, but you were writing your wedding invitations in the lobby.
I believe it was Moonlight.
Oh, yes, the wonderful painter.
Yeah, I believe it was Moonlight that I sat in the lobby as house manager writing all our wedding invitations. So Sandy sent in a press release to the Daily News, who then contacted us. So we had an article about our wedding in the Daily News to help promote theater, too.
Well, you know, the marketing aspect is important because you want to be on the radar of the community and you want the... And you know, theater is now appreciated, I think, as a reason for people to appreciate the quality of life in any community, you know.
And we look back over time and, I mean, most things we judge when we judge, like, you know, or evaluate society and ages along the way are through art. You know, both visual and performing arts. I mean, that, you know, we look back and talk about these styles, you know, from, you know, Renaissance and going through Baroque periods and all of this. And it's all this these expressions of art and, you know, what comes out of those times then. And so I think it is a very important part of who we are as humans.
Exactly. And we also can realize that maybe human beings haven't changed that much. We can relate to who people were alive at different periods. That's what I love about theater. You can go different times, different ages.
Well, the one of the really great things about theater, particularly with young people, is, you know, you can bring them a play, an ancient Greek play, 500 BC, and there's still relevancy. There's still things that these young people can hook into and... you know, experience and be excited about. And that's, you know, that's a play that's 2,000 or more years old, you know.
Well, 'cause regardless of what technology brings us, the human condition remains the same.
Right, exactly.
And there are a lot of oldies but goodies out
there.
Absolutely,
yeah.
And, you know, the other thing, not everybody's on stage who gets hooked on theater. It's a collaborative art. And I guess you guys are also training costumers and sound people and light people and so on.
Absolutely.
And puppets, I guess, how to make
and
puppets.
And puppetry, yes. In fact, we've got a young man who was very interested in puppets a couple of years ago. He's since graduated, and we've brought him back to help us train and learn the skill set that's needed. And he's hopefully going off to college to be in a puppetry major. And his goal is to be, he says his goal is to be on the street. He wants to be on Sesame Street someday and work with kids and stuff like that. So, you know, so we have, I think Aaron and I both are very lucky to have students who come back to us years later and are not only, you know, just dropping by to say hi, but are involved in productions or they're, you know, now... Colby is one of our students who we had for years, and now she's coming back and directing and all these kinds of things. So,
well, that's exciting.
And it's just wonderful. It's most of the shows I've done at South, I've had a student who's graduated in the past year or three who wants to come in and work on the shows to help with, you know, to learn a little bit about directing, but just to stay connected with that atmosphere. And even students who've graduated and come back and want to come in and help out, you know, both with local theater groups and at the high school, because they want to be a part of it. Both, you know, in tech, you know, and mostly in that area, it's either directing support or technical support. But you mentioning tech, I have a student, a South student right now, who also I do work with at TBA Theater, who... has just got this passion to learn all there is about technical theater. And his parents, I mean, his siblings perform, and he wants to do tech. He wants to work in the booth. He, you know, is interested in everything that goes into how a show is put together. He wants to learn how to be a stage manager. And he has a passion for it, and his parents are behind it, and even posted a picture of him sweeping the stage on Facebook. And I was like, we need parents like that who say they are proud of this that their student wants to do,
right,
regardless if he's out there, you know, taking the bows with the cast at the end of the show.
The reality is the backstage support, they are the truly cherished beings and the glue that do make the magic happen.
That's because most people want to act. Nobody wants to work backstage. Somebody who really wants to work backstage and is good is precious in this town
and
everywhere.
And it's lovely to see it in our young people. And I know I'm going to now compliment. Dave, I see a lot of students with a passion for technical aspects come out of West. That, I mean, it's cultivated there. And that's an awesome thing because, you know, those of us who work in the industry do know how precious it is to get good technicians.
Well, you know, you talked to Sandy earlier about making a living in the arts or, you know, I talk to students all the time who say, you know, is it possible to do that? And I, you know, especially in tech, I think that's one of the areas where you definitely are in demand all the time. And it's a good business to be in.
That's the absolute truth.
But what do you tell a student who's gifted and wants to go and become an actor? And what do you say to somebody who's leaving school, wants to go off and be an actor, and he's really good? But
I tell them is the chance of being Angelina Jolie is non-existent. You know, that kind of wealth and success is like winning the lottery. But the ability to go be a working actor and pay your bills is well within reach. And we have friends like Frank Collison and others who do just that. But you've got to be willing to wear many hats. And you've got to be willing to be an actor in front, but also be a teacher and teach acting classes and work tech and, you know, do a little of everything and not be a prima donna.
Yep, that is very true. You have to be willing to make sacrifices and to do it all.
Well, the bottom line is the play's the thing. And, of course, there's a lot of wonderful playwrights right here in Anchorage, that's inspired by the Last Frontier Theater Conference. You know, if you go to a party and say, how's the script coming? Six people might turn around.
Which is wonderful. That's a wonderful atmosphere.
I so envy you guys, and I envy your students for this extraordinary experience. It is so special. And the extra trips you might get to make, like to Stratford.
Yes, and that was, there are optional trips when you take this opportunity that Dave and I have, and we last year went to visit Shakespeare's birthplace and his grave, because I thought, if we're going all the way over there, these, you know, seeing where Shakespeare came from is a great opportunity, and it was wonderful and well worth it.
And I know that has impact on the young people as well as you. I think Shane told me he had tears when he went to Stratford. I thank you both so much for being here and for inspiring and cultivating the passion of young people and the passion of our community for theater.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And tune in again next month for another edition of Alaska Radio Reader Rambler.
Our guests have been Aaron Mitchell and David Block.